Senate will come to order. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Roll call for Thursday, January 20th. Barnard?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Here.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Dockstader?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Amrick?
Here.
Esquibel?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hicks?
Here.
Hines? Jennings,
here.
Johnson,
here.
Landon,
here.
Martin,
here.
Meyer, Nicholas,
here.
Nutting,
here.
Perkins,
excuse.
Peterson,
excuse.
Ross,
here.
Rothfuss,
here.
Schiffer,
here.
Scott,
excuse.
Von Platern, President Anderson,
here.
Meyer,
excuse.
26 present, 4 excused.
Prayer by Rabbi Harley.
Each day we seek inspiration from our God, from our highest power, from our highest conscience. We seek support in our days that are so incredibly hectic, so overwhelmed with responsibilities, so swamped with activities. And we seek insights from different traditions. And in my Jewish tradition, we learn from God that we are responsible to respond to a call for reacting to all of the things that happen to us at a moment-to-moment basis, but that there are two areas that we have to affirmatively pursue no matter how busy our lives are, and that these two areas are peace and justice, that we are to try to find peace for our country, in our streets, and especially in our homes, and that we are to seek justice, fairness for all people, whatever their background, whatever their group and community may be. And we pray that in the midst of our incredibly hectic and highly demanding schedules, that we can find the strength to step back and seek those opportunities to bring more peace to our state and more justice to our state. And for that hope and prayer, we can all say, Amen.
Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Reading correction and approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January the 19th, 2011, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Nutting, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Our doctor for the day is Amy Trelease Bell, MD from Cheyenne. Nurse of the day has not been scheduled. 1913, riot and pandemonium rule on the floor of the Wyoming House of Representatives. Calm prevailed on the Senate side. I might say for the sake of the public that last was a bit of an editorial comment on that. Messages from the House.
From the House of Representatives, January the 19th, 2011, message number 10, Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 24, Voting Rights, ayes 21, noes 37, excused 1, absent 1. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
You want to
Introduction, reading, reference of bill. Oh, Senator Bebow.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have privilege of the floor?
You certainly may.
Mr. President, I would ask that Senate Joint Resolution 6 be re-referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals.
Thank you. Senator Bebow, hearing no objection, that re-referral would be so ordered. Introduction of bills. Senate File 119, first reading of the bill. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 119, Real Estate Brokers and Salesmen's Revisions 2, and Act Relating to Real Estate Brokers and Salesmen, sponsored by Senator Johnson.
Senate File 119 has been referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 120, first reading of the bill. Reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 120, Workforce Services and Employment Reorganization, an act relating to government reorganization, sponsored by Senator Bebout.
Senate File 120 has been referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Reports from standing committees.
January the 19th, 2010, Mr. President, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 112, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Cooper, Johnson, Nutting, and Schiffer. Excuse, Senator Landler, Senator Schiffer, Chairman. January the 19th, 2011, Mr. President, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 72, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Cooper, Johnson, Nutting, and Schiffer. Excuse, Senator Landon, Senator Schiffer, Chairman. January the 19th, 2011, Mr. President, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate Joint Resolution 2, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Hicks, Perkins, no, Senator Christensen and Escobel, Senator Perkins, Chairman. January the 19th, 2011, Mr. President, your Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 59, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Dockstader, Martin, Nutting, Schiffer, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. January the 19th, 2011, Mr. President, your Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 84, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Martin, Nutting, and Scott. No, Senators Dockstader and Schiffer. Senator Scott, Chairman.
Bill's on second reading. Senate File 3, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 3, Campaign Finance Reorganization, sponsored by the Corporations Committee.
There are no amendments. Senate File 3, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 14, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 14, Counties, Election District, sponsored by the Corporations Committee.
Senator Bebout.
Move that we lay that bill back.
Has been asked that this bill be laid back. Are there any objections? Seeing none, Senate File 14 will be laid back until second reading tomorrow. Senate File 24, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 24, State Investment, sponsored by Senator Martin.
There is an amendment to this bill, this being the Martin Amendment. Senator Martin, would you like to move and explain amendment number, second reading amendment number one to Senate File 24? Senator Martin?
Mr. President, before I do that, could we discuss the questions that I've been asked during the Committee of the Whole, and then I would move the amendment, and we could take that up?
Certainly. Go ahead and answer those questions, then you can move the bill or move the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, there was a number of questions that were asked on the floor when we discussed and debated this piece of legislation. I guess it was Tuesday. And I spent some time with the Treasurer's Office and tried to get as much information for the body as possible. In your bins up here, you'll have some information, and one being a letter from the State Treasurer's Office in regard to some of those questions. And at this time, I'd like to read that letter, Mr. President, if possible. Dear Senator Martin, the State Treasurer's Office was informed that there were some questions posed during the general file reading of Senate File 24, State Investments, which deals with investments by the State Treasurer through the purchase of industrial development bonds. Below are our responses to the questions posed as we understood them. First being, does purchasing a bond at a below market interest rate pose a problem? These are revenue bonds for economic development, and they are not guaranteed. The State Treasurer cannot purchase these bonds as an investment without the recommendation of the Wyoming Business Council and the approval of the Governor. The Governor's involvement is from a policy perspective, while the State Treasurer must agree that the investment is prudent. The bonds must be collateralized by a pledge of revenue from the operation of the facility and a mortgage on the facility or other facilities. The state can only loan out 75% of the appraised value, with at least 25% of the total project cost being provided by the owner of the facility. Additional security can be required by the State Treasurer and or the Governor, as recommended by the Wyoming Business Council. Wyoming Business Council sets the maximum amount of the investment to be made by the state in each project based on the number of jobs created or preserved and the economic impact to the state. The Wyoming Business Council recommends the bond's interest rate, which is to be reasonably commensurate with the risk. Second question was, how does the bill interface with Wyoming Statute 94715 subsection E? The State Treasurer is required to follow the prudent investment rule as stipulated in Wyoming Statute 410901. When making investment decisions, except as may otherwise be directed by the legislature, Wyoming Statute 94715 subsection E reiterates provisions within the prudent investment rule, and as such, the Treasurer, when evaluating a request to purchase industrial development bonds, may need to ensure they are in alignment within the overall investment strategy of the state's investment portfolio, except for to the extent the legislature has otherwise provided in subsection 94715 subsection M for industrial development bonds. Each year during the asset allocation review, the State Treasurer would take into consideration the allocation for industrial development bonds when allocating the state's assets to meet the long-term investment goals for the state's overall investment portfolio. And what is the difference between the interest rate that would be earned on these industrial development bonds and other state investments? President, they state that this is difficult to determine as there are various factors that must be evaluated by both the Wyoming Business Council in recommending an interest rate and by the State Treasurer when agreeing upon a rate of interest he will accept to purchase the IDBs. These factors would include but not be limited to the following: underlying credit of the company that would receive the loan, the economic impact of the state on the state, the term of the bonds, the yield on various other investments, investment market conditions at the time the bond is to be issued, and the risk of the investment perhaps compared to other state investments. The state treasurer does not necessarily keep all of the current $100 million in law allocated by statute for industrial development bonds invested in short-term securities for liquidity purposes, but instead may keep it invested in longer-term investment strategies until we are notified of a potential need for the funds. The same scenario would be continued if the allotment were increased to $600 million, as currently outlined in Senate File 24. The Treasurer's Office did provide me...
Senator Martin, that does take you up against your two-minute time limit, so maybe you can summarize that.
Okay. Very quickly, there is in your
or
handout, it shows the overall where our investments are at today, and it's somewhere near 4.29%. Mr. President, I would...
Senator Martin.
Now I'd like to...
Okay, I think we'll have then, if you're ready to move to the amendment, we'll have the reading clerk read that second reading amendment number one in, if we could, please.
Senate File 24, second reading amendment number one, page 2, line 18.
Thank you. You may go ahead.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number one to Senate File 24. What the amendment is page 2, line 18, delete 2016 and insert 2017. And the reason for this was simply to move the sunset date out of a budget session into a general session so that debate could take place at the time if it was to be reauthorized. So I'd ask for...
Thank you. Questions or comments in regard to this amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of second reading amendment number one to Senate File 24, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Senate File back on the bill. Senate File 24, having been read two separate times. I'm sorry. Yes, Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, and I was one of the ones yesterday that asked for this information, and I appreciate it very much, thanks go out to my colleague from Sweetwater County. I want to point out, particularly as it relates to how we look at these investments, they are outside the purview of the prudent investor law, which is what guides investment in Wyoming, except for these kinds of things. They may be imprudent. Doesn't matter. When the legislature directs the state treasurer to invest, that rule goes away, and we are the ones making the decision that directing the state treasurer, saying whether it's prudent or not, you will invest in these. And I want the Senate to be sure and understand that the difference there, it's not like any other investment decision that the state treasurer makes. It is outside the prudent investor rule. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other further commentary in regard to Senate File 24? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I agree that it most likely or not is outside, but I do believe that the Treasurer and legislative designated investments in general do have good oversight. And I can go back to the old farm loan program where the people that make those loans, they went through the SLIB board, State Lands and Investment. They qualified those loans as whether they could be repaid. And so there is oversight in this. You are going to have qualifications. And so it isn't like the prudent investor rule at heart isn't being taken into consideration, because even if it's an LDI, they will... use circumstances that's going to make sure that this money comes back to the state.
Thank you. Further commentary in regard to Senate File 24? Seeing none. Senate File 24 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 27, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 27, Paramutual Commission Amendment, sponsored by the Travel Committee.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
Mr. President, I'm informed that we have in the gallery students from the Paradise Valley School. That's in my district up in Casper. They're here with their teacher, Mrs. Benson. That is, if I'm reading the name right. And I would ask the Senate to help me welcome them to the Senate. And
welcome, students, and enjoy your stay here at the Capitol today. Question is, then, back to Senate File 27. Is there any question or commentary in regard to Senate File 27? Seeing none, there are no amendments. Senate File 27 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 31, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 31, Off-Road Vehicle Definition, sponsored by the Travel Committee.
There are no amendments. Senate File 31, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Senate File 41, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 41, Film Industry Financial Incentives Program, sponsored by the Travel Committee.
It does appear that there are several amendments, the first amendment being the Nicholas Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 41.
Senate File 41, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 6.
Senator Nicholas, would you like to address that amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move the second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 41. Folks, what this does is address the issues with respect to the appropriation mechanism for this to occur. So we provide that the funds that go into that account will not revert. That may or may not be required because, as I talked to our staff yesterday, once we set up a separate account and the money is deposited there, then there may be a non-reversion feature to that. But to make it clear, we specify the dollars, even though they're put into that separate account, will not revert. Secondly, we provide that the budget balance that is unspent in their present budget would be placed into that account and allow for to make it clear that they could take the existing funds, put it into those accounts. As it's set up now, it will at least implement the plans that are articulated in the fiscal note, and that takes care of that. I urge your support.
Comments, questions in regard to this amendment? Seeing none, question being called. All those in favor of first reading amendment, second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 41, please say aye. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. There is another amendment being the Jennings Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in that amendment?
Senate File 41, second reading amendment number 2, page 1, line 2.
The Hicks Amendment, I'm sorry. The Hicks Amendment. Senator Hicks, would you like to address this amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. If I could explain this amendment to the body. On second reading, amendment number 2 to Senate File 41, this would provide a new subsection C. What this section is intended to do is make sure that any exposure or advertisement or any films that utilize the terminology Wyoming or promote or discuss Wyoming, that at least if they're seeking reimbursement, it reflects the state of Wyoming and its people and its policies in a positive fashion instead of a negative fashion. Again, as I talked to this provision in the original first reading on this, I have had the opportunity to witness some of the entities that were named as eligible recipients for these funds in the past that have not always reflected the best interests or the policies in the state of Wyoming in a very positive light. This particular amendment is designed to address that issue. I would consider the body of the whole with a favorable due pass. Thank you.
Senator Hicks, I don't believe you moved that amendment. Would you like to move that amendment at this time?
Yes, Mr. President, I would ask that that amendment be moved.
Okay, Senator Hicks has asked that second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 41 be moved, and Senator Bevel.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I guess a question of the sponsor, and I'm not sure how this board is appointed or who appoints them, but we're asking a board to make independent determination on their behalf what they think truly reflects the state, its policies, laws, or citizens. And I just wonder, in reality, how that might work, and what if the board does not agree with maybe the majority of the people? How do you see that really happening? And then I wonder if that may not send just a whole negative situation to the entire film industry, that if you don't come here and do what we think the board decides, maybe we don't even want you. And I guess I got a problem with this. Maybe you could explain a little bit more what you really think is going to happen if this passes.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President, on my half of this amendment. Basically, what we're referring to is that one of these documentaries that got some money came in and called all of us fools for our wolf policy. And I watched as much of it as I could stomach before I turned it off. But if we're going to give money to somebody to come in and tell us how stupid we are because of our wolf policy, I want my money back.
Senator Von Flater.
Thank you, Mr. President. We had a lot of discussion about this 4 years ago. I mean, that probably took up the majority of the time we spent discussing that bill. As much as you know my displeasure with that whole project and that whole putting it in statute and everything about it, to have somebody, a board, selected who is very much in favor of the film industry to begin with and then have them be censoring out what's good and bad, that's so subjective that I think it's not a good idea either. The project's there, much to my chagrin, but I cannot imagine trying to put censorship into it. So standing against this amendment.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I certainly appreciate what the sponsors are trying to do with this. I know what you're trying to get accomplished, and it is a big concern. But as noted, a documentary is just that. You're going to hear both sides, and to step in and say, well, we can pull back on that or we can't fund that. I appreciate what you're doing. It doesn't work. Documentary still has to cover both sides or multiple sides of the issue, and it still doesn't quite address that problem of should government be mixed in with
further comments.
Films. Thank you.
Senator Esquivel.
Mr. President, I had some of the similar concerns. I was just wondering, how would you deal with such issues as Hard Mountain or the Johnson County War, things of that nature, the hanging of Cattle Kate, Tom Horn, some of those type of things. I was just wondering how you would make a judgment on those, one way or the other. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments before Senator Hicks rises his second time? Seeing none, Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, this does not constrain divergent views in these documentaries. It doesn't preclude or prohibit the ability of any industry or any entity from coming in here and doing whatever they want. in light of using the definition of the term in Wyoming. It just says, provides guidance and direction for the board in using their discretion. And it just says that the state of Wyoming is not going to financially reimburse you. But it doesn't restrict their free speech ability or their rights in any form or fashion.
Are we ready for the question? Question being called on the amendment. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has failed. The next amendment for our consideration on Senate File 41 is the Burns Amendment and...
No. 43. That's 43.
Oh, 40, okay. That's the last one. Okay. There are no others. Okay, there are no other amendments. So Senate File 41, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 43, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 43, Title 19, Veterans Commission Duties, sponsored by the Transportation Committee.
There are some amendments, and this amendment is the Burns Amendment, Senate File 43. Would the reading clerk please read that amendment in?
Senate File 43, second reading, amendment number 1, page 1, line 1.
Okay, Senator Nicholas, would you like...
Mr. President, I've moved the second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 43. Folks, what this does is deletes the acquisition, the transfer of the museum property. It leaves into the bill the codification of the duties that were assigned to the commission. So going ahead and sending that forward, making it clear that it actually leaves an expansion of their duties. But with respect to the museum, it says let's hold off on that and we'll take care of that or look at it at a different time. But recognizing that that would be an extra expense, and I'd urge your support of the amendment.
Question? Comment? Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against this amendment, as you look on your desk this morning, I had passed out two different items. One was talked about the museum, and the other one's a fact sheet. Appreciate it if you'd take a look at those. Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, rather, this facility has been in operation for a number of years. It's been a keepsake thing for the National Guard. It's been operated by the National Guard. And it has been funded by this legislature over the years through the National Guard and the military department. We're simply moving it from those folks over to the Veterans Commission for operating. That's not really changing anything other than the people that will be responsible for it. This is a kind of a special kind of a museum. It's very personal to our veterans in this state. And if you not too long ago, if you remember, you read an article in the paper about a family who donated a Medal of Honor medal to their with a personal regalia, all that went with it. And that is in this museum, and that is displayed there. And that's the kind of things you'll find displayed. This museum has over 10,000 items in it. It's been going on for years. It is, in fact, a museum. If you look at this document, it will tell you all the things that goes on there. It's free to the public. You can go in there. And it's not like a regular museum where you go in and see a display case, for example, of a military uniform of a certain era that was carried on in the military. This has very personal things to men and women in this state who have served in the military and list the different items that they have, also the different regiments and the companies and all those things that our state is so proud of to have those people serving from this state. So this is an important thing to remember. This is not a personal, This is, in fact, a regular museum. The State Building Commission, to go to show you an additional fact, last year gave funds for level one study for construction and repair of this facility as a museum. So you can see how important it is. This amendment would take all that away from our veterans, and we don't want that. We want this museum to be kept by the military department and be used by them to establish all of these, this memorabilia that's been kept over the years that shows the history of the military and of the veterans of this state. And that is so important. If you take this out, we already fund this. We already do it. The military, all we're doing is changing the responsibility from the National Guard over to the Veterans Commission. And that's why I stand opposed and would ask you to oppose this amendment.
Thank you. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to emphasize the comments made by my good friend from Lincoln County. This is our Wyoming National Guard's museum. Everything in there has been donated by veterans and retirees of the National Guard from the very beginning. And I know personally several retired senior officers who donated to this, and I've been told that the most senior officer who will be retiring at the end of the March, already end of this March, already plans to donate everything he has to that. So these are for your National Guard's veterans and retirees, and I think it's a good place for them to have them.
Any other commentary in regard to this amendment? Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, as the co-sponsor of this amendment, so I'm on and for the amendment, we already have a State Veterans Museum, and that was designated by this body. This body is part of government, is we're the ones that decide how money is to be spent. There's a process to be gone through. This museum was started by the military department without the authorization of this legislature in the first place. Now, if we want to go ahead and say, now there's going to be an official National Guard museum, we should go through the process, and it should be an interim study by either TRW or the Transportation and Military Affairs Committee. But if we say, okay, you've been doing this on your own for years, and now we're just going to say it's okay, well, and I don't see any reason why state parks can't decide to build their own little state parks museum up in Guernsey and then have this legislature years later say, okay, fine, you're going to do that now, or have Game and Fish start their own little Game and Fish museum somewhere, or any other agency, Department of Health, have a Department of Health museum somewhere with money that was not authorized for that purpose by this legislature ahead of time. Now, if we want to have this museum, I think it should be gone through on a study by a committee of this legislature in interim before we decide to go ahead and do this, rather than as a fait accompli, and we just throw up our hands and say, yeah, okay, let's do it. The building's a nice building. I've been in it. And the building's not going to collapse if this amendment passes. But what I'm suggesting is it should be an interim study by one of these committees to decide what this museum does, what it's going to what it's going to portray, and what the interrelationship is going to be to the State Veterans Museum that we've already authorized.
Thank you, Senator Burns. Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I request a ruling from the chair on the constitutionality of the amendment. It certainly seems that this is substantive change to the title of the and intent of the legislation, Mr. President.
Chair believes that this is a constitutional proposal, and we would go on with the discussion. Go ahead, Senator Krukin.
Oh. Hey, this will be my second time, Mr.
Your second time.
But, okay.
Before you rise the second time, go ahead. It is your second time. Go ahead, Senator Cooper.
Yeah, Mr. President, I just wanted to make sure that no one else had it.
Yeah, is there anyone else? Yeah. Okay, Senator Von Flader.
Thank you. Standing against this amendment, it's something that's already being practiced. All we're saying is that they take care of it, and they're already doing it. It's not, we're not creating a new commission. We're not adding duties they don't already have, and we already pay for the existence of the museum. Remember, the Veterans Commission is under the military budget. We're not even shifting money around. It's just there. So standing against the amendment.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, I'll be standing against the amendment also. This identity for these young men and these soldiers and young ladies that are out there representing the National Guard, this is important to them. This, and it's just a small bit of recognition that they have a lot of ownership in, and so I'd encourage my fellow senators to stand against it.
Okay, Senator Cooper, second time. Senator Nicholas, I think, final comment.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, apparently this museum was developed by the blood, sweat, and tears of people that have great intentions, and they have operated it successfully for many years. And apparently there's federal funds that they've acquired over time to help operate it. And nobody is saying that taking the museum away from the people, it belongs to them. And there are any number of museums around the state that are started by well-intended people. And what we all know what happens is that folks get to the point where wouldn't it be easier to put this in the inventory of the state, and so the state would then have a commitment because it's now their inventory to maintain it. And if you're on the TRW committee or any other committee that looks at what resources we have to maintain our parks, our facilities, you know that right now there's a deferred maintenance obligation with the parks of numbers that none of us are prepared to appropriate. And you can acquire all these properties and you don't have the resources to take care of them. It's been successful. These folks have done it privately. They should continue to do it privately. And we should not take these things into our inventory simply to dilute the resources we have to take care of what we already have that we're having difficulty taking care of. It's easy to say, yeah, I'll put it in our inventory. But when you do that, you make a commitment to maintain it. And if we do this to all the museums in the state, there's not enough money right now to take care of the ones that we have, or we're not prepared to dedicate those dollars. This isn't an effort to change the character of the museum. It's an effort to put it in the state inventory. Thank you. State inventory to make a commitment by the state to maintain something that private folks have done successfully over the years. So I'd urge you to be cautious, and if you want to take on more real estate, more obligations, then send it to the TRW committee, send it to the committees to say, okay, what's our total picture? How much land, how many museums are we going to maintain? But to allow individuals to, well-intended individuals, to create museums and then just go say, hey, we created a great museum, would you now begin to pick up the obligations and take volunteers and now pay volunteers? Look at the fiscal note. That's what they have intended, and that's generally what we do. And, folks, this gets very, very expensive. And I urge you, before you take on more assets, more obligations, to think about the deferred maintenance that we have on our state museums and all of the state parks facilities around the state. And it's a huge number. It's in the tens of millions. It's close to $100 million of deferred maintenance. So nobody's urging these people to shut it down. And we're urging, as private people, when they have a good thing, continue to do it. Continue to do it with volunteers. Continue to raise your money.
Thank you, Senator Nicholas. Are we ready for the question? Question regarding the second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 43. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Chair is in doubt. All those in favor of this amendment, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 43 has passed. The Senate, we are now back on the bill. There are no further amendments. Senate File 43 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Everybody here is aware of Warren Air Force Base to the west of town, where we have the 90th Missile Wing. In the back balcony, we have the commanders of all of the units and the base from the 90th Missile Wing. If they will please stand up, I sure would like to introduce them. Mr. President, the applause was a little premature because I would like to introduce them individually, if I may do that.
I think that we can applause a second, a third, a fourth if necessary for these folks. Go ahead.
Thank you. It is my pleasure to introduce Colonel Greg Timms, commanding the 90th Missile Wing. Colonel Scott Fox, the Missile Wing Vice Commander. Colonel Don Adams, 90th Maintenance Group Commander. Colonel Sean Boyle, 90th Mission Support Group Commander. Colonel Fran Basta Faldorf, 90th Medical Group Commander. And Mr. Barry Kistler, 90th Missile Wing Director of Staff.
Thank you, Senator Johnson, and lady and gentlemen in the balcony. It seems that applause is never enough for what you do, but that's all we have to offer today, so thank you so very much.
Yeah.
Senate File 92, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 92, Natural Gas Storage, sponsored by Senator Bebout.
There are no amendments. Senate File 92 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 101, the reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 101, Hathaway Student Scholarship Program, sponsored by Senator Cole.
There are no amendments. Senate File 101, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Bills on third reading, Senate File 36, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 36, Seclusion and Restraint in Schools, an act relating to public schools, sponsored by Senator Case, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are some amendments. The first amendment to Senate File 36 is the nutting amendment. Would the reading clerk please read this amendment in?
Senate File 36, third reading amendment number 1, page 3, line 6.
Senator Nutting, would you like to move this amendment and address it, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. I do so move this amendment. Anytime we are allowing for restraint of any individual, and especially of children, and for those who may have disabilities, I think it would be unconscionable of this body to not include a statement relating to their physiological needs, that there must be provision within the rules that would attend to needs for air, water, toileting, and food. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Is there further discussion on this amendment? Seeing none, the question is in regard to... Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Nicholas. Go ahead.
You know, I see that the amendment is well-intended. A couple concerns I have. One is that, first of all, I think the policy will do this naturally. But if the policy is to protect these basic interests, then the protection becomes an affirmative obligation, which creates a different notion that if we say the policy is intended to make sure that these things are accommodated, that's one thing. But to protect these as an affirmative obligation is likely to create unintended consequences. And so the word protection gives me great concern. You know, I simply think that you're going to find that these things are going to find themselves in the policies themselves. But to elevate these to a protected level when you have the issue, for example, with toileting, are you saying that these padded rooms now have to have toilets inside them? Do they have to have these types of affirmative obligations? This is the type of language that you see with statutes intended to protect different infirmities, and it could get very expensive. What I would suggest is that you reject the amendment and leave it up to the districts to determine how they're going to make accommodations for these policies without providing basic protections for things that can be are simply humane and will be accommodated in other ways.
Thank you. Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, you would think that common sense would lead us to the conclusion that districts should already do this. In fact, common sense may also lead us to the conclusion that this bill is necessary. However, Mr. President,
It's been my personal experience within members of my family that these protections are not afforded to students within certain school districts in this state. And so I think it is very important that we do have that affirmative wording in there, because frankly, it hasn't happened. And I know there are some legal conclusions that may be drawn on this. Those legal conclusions have consequences. Those legal conclusions may be extremely expensive, both to the district and the state. But we have to think about the rights of the individuals that are within certain circumstances, that if they're not afforded these protections, and if it isn't specifically instructed that these protections will occur, then, Mr. President, those prices that we pay and the prices that those individuals pay far exceed anything that might occur in the court system.
Thank you. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have concern any time that we start putting lists into legislation, because then you run into that court interpretation as to whether or not this is the legislature said these things, but didn't put in, for instance, the right to their medications or whatever else. And so you end up excluding something that potentially is an unintended consequence. I think it's best left to the rules to allow people to do the right thing. But once there's always a danger when we do these lists that they aren't inclusive enough. And so I suggest that perhaps this, while well-intended, is may create more problems than not.
Thank you. Is there any other comment, Senator Case?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the whole purpose of the bill is to try to get school districts and the state superintendent's office and parents together to kind of plan for Wyoming's future and to get people to be on a common ground with respect to how we're going to treat this across the state. So I had drawn a bill up that was as general as I could possibly make it, in the sense that we had some very broad guidelines, and then, you know, I have great hope that the dialogue that will occur during the rulemaking that will accompany this, that's going to be led by the state superintendent of public instruction, that dialogue will kind of produce a mutual understanding of appropriateness around the state. I have great faith in that to happen. I may be disappointed when we come back next year and decide that, boy, they missed the mark on some of these things, and we need to come back and tell them this. But my preference is to keep the bill fairly clean, to allow the rulemaking to give broad ability for these folks to get together and decide. And so I, too, would ask you to resist maybe this amendment and subsequent amendments to put more framework on it, something that I think needs to be determined by dialogue between all the interested parties in the state.
Other commentary or questions before Senator Nutting? Senator Nutting, you're entitled to a second opportunity to rebut if you so choose on this amendment.
It, in fact, does seem that these would be reasonable. They are ones that can be overlooked, especially when other emotional issues come to the forefront. And there have been examples when these basic physiological needs have not been provided. I think they're differentiated from needs for medications and other things in that medications are a special need, not a basic physiological need. This amendment is to make sure that just the basic physiological needs are met, and therefore I ask the body to pass this amendment.
Thank you. The question then before us is in regard to third reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 36. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has failed. There is a second amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the second amendment?
Senate File 36, Third Reading Amendment Number 2, page 3, line 6.
Senator Nutting, this is your amendment also. Would you like to move and address this amendment?
I thank you, Mr. President. I do so move for adoption of this amendment. This amendment addresses some of the more fragile physical states of some young people who may be restrained. This does not follow common sense, as many maneuvers would not in any way pose a danger to the vast majority of the population, but a more fragile group would be very affected in that their basic life could be more easily threatened by any pressure on the sternum, the diaphragm, the chest. So that this is to make sure that those people who are not familiar with a fragile population would be more vigilant, and it would be brought to their attention that these extra precautions are needed.
Thank you. Comment? Questions? Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, folks, I would urge you to resist this for a lot of the same reasons as the last amendment. So I'm struck by the some of the emotional problems that some of our youth have. And you know, my wife is in the education community. She's a Title I teacher now. And it's really sad that you see some children that come in that have some issues that require padded rooms, require, on occasion, acting out. And one of the things that may have to happen is there are instances where male teachers have to bear hug them and take them to the room, and they go kicking and screaming. It's a sad thing, but it happens. And what I do know is these schools have trained people, and they train people to deal with these emotional issues. We insist that we allow and provide accommodations so we mainstream these children. And consistent with that become difficult issues that teachers do become trained on. And once again, to try to put into statute a solution or a restriction where we're not the experts is dangerous. This is an area where we should leave it to the experts to determine what's appropriate in the circumstance. And it seems to me that it's simply too constraining, and there are times where, frankly, for the safety of others, you may end up having to wrestle a person down. And in doing that, you violated this. Unfortunately, it does happen. Sadly, it does happen. But to hear today on the floor to determine what the restrictions are is dangerous.
Thank you. Further comment, further question? Senator Nutting, would you care to take a second time before we vote? Thank you, Senator Nutting.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no additional comments.
Thank you. Then the question before us is in regard to third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 36. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
This amendment has failed. We are now back on the bill. Yes, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I've had an unease about this bill since the discussion of the Committee of the Whole, and I read the bill. And discussion on these two amendments has crystallized that unease. And I really wonder if this isn't, we aren't going one step too far with this bill into turning ourselves into the statewide school board. And we wouldn't be better off just leaving this whole matter to the discretion of our local school boards. They're elected. They're in charge of our local schools. They can deal with the issues more effectively that have come up. And we've just seen a kind of example of the kind of issues that will come up. And I really wonder if we wouldn't be better off leaving this whole issue to our local school boards.
Further discussion? Yes, Senator Dockstetter.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think the issue is local control of our school board, so I'd stand against the bill and say that we allow our school boards to take care of this administering this right within their own district.
Other commentary in regard to Senate File 36, Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, we're kind of balancing the local control, which I've often sat up here and argued for local control, but we're balancing it against the constitutional rights of citizens of the state. We're balancing against some very, in many instances, constitutional rights of some extremely fragile, vulnerable, compromised
citizens of the state. Sometimes those fragile, vulnerable citizens can't even express themselves. They cannot say what happened to them in school today. Now, probably this would be unnecessary for, if everybody had perfect students and it was all-American apple pie world. It's not. The incident that brought this bill to my attention was a handicapped child, nonverbal, restrained against his will repeatedly over a long period of time, and in an appropriate manner, everybody agreed was inappropriate, but it kept happening, and the parents weren't told about it. They never had any agreement. It wasn't in the IEP. It just happened. And then I found out it happens more than you think. So, yes, we protect people's constitutional rights, and we are very intrusive about doing that because that is what's important. And, you know, when it comes to the Constitution versus local control and people's individual rights as human beings, I got to go with the first one, okay? Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Are we ready for the question? Senate File 36, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall a bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
No.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
No.
Hines. Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
No.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
No.
Bonflatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 24 ayes, 6 noes.
Senate File 36, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 36 has passed the Senate. Senate File 71. Third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 71, Education Hunter Safety Courses and Act Relating to Education, sponsored by Senator Christensen, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment, and I would like for the reading clerk to please read in that amendment at this time.
Senate File 71, Third Reading Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 5.
Senator Scott, would you like to move and address the amendment?
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, I'd like to think this amendment illustrates the value of a representative legislature, because the amendment that we put on yesterday from the Christensen Amendment was a very sensible, very sound amendment, but by requiring the things be open only to the school children that reside within the district, that's an important protection. But it just turns out that in a few places in the rural areas, and they're people I represent and my friends and neighbors, you have situations where kids who live in Carbon County, the sensible place for them to go to school is in Natrona County. So they're in one school district and they're attending school in the other. And actually, I've got a constituent that works the other way. And the rural folks are just being sensible, sending their kids to the nearer school rather than a long busing. So we need to modify this so that these courses can be taken not only by the children who are residing within the district, but by those who are attending school within the district. I think it improves a very good amendment and on a very good bill.
Senator Christensen.
Wholeheartedly support the amendment. I appreciate all the good work of the Senate tuning up and fixing this bill and making it better.
Question being called in regard to third reading amendment number one to Senate file 71. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. We are now back on the bill. Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Speaking on and against the bill, I love the concept. I think it needs to be, every child should be exposed to this and taught hunter safety. But all I say is think about a district that has 1,000 fifth and sixth graders and the logistics. And yes, volunteers will do it. The cost is minimal to none. But the reality is I think you'll see an appropriation come back to education on the school funding and say this is costing us time and money. So I would just, when you consider voting on this, great idea, but let's consider how you're going to run 1,000 fifth and sixth graders through in an orderly manner for very little or no money.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, have shared concerns over this. I'm 100% in favor of hunter safety, teaching hunter safety, advocate for hunter safety. As a hunter myself, took my kids through hunter safety, but question the rationale of putting it in the schools during school times, taken away from academic time. You know, there's a lot of safety courses that could or should be taught in the schools. You know, in Sweetwater County, for example, I know that they had water safety kind of classes, water safety swimming lessons kind of thing, which was pulled from the school district. And the reasoning for it being pulled was that the rec center provided those kind of services. So if individuals or kids wanted that kind of training, then they could go to the rec center. And to me, there's a lot of safety kind of items. You know, water safety in Sweetwater County, you know, everyone with the river and the gorge there, virtually everyone is exposed to the water. You know, not everyone is exposed to the hunting. And I will say again, I support the hunting and I support that. But, you know, there's a myriad of safety classes that could be taught in the schools and should be taught in the schools. And where do we draw the line and say we're going to do these? Like dating safety, you know, or dating violence. What about that? What about, you know, bullying and harassment? You know, all these kind of safety things that could and should be taught. And, you know, is it, we're not doing those in schools, but, you know, where do we draw the lines on some of these? And I just have a concern over taking away from the academic times.
Senator Scott, I think, second time. Go ahead, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, in view of some of the remarks, I rise in support of this bill. I think we're overstating some of the difficulties. Use of firearms and hunting is a very important part of our culture here in Wyoming. And clearly, firearms have to be treated with respect. They're dangerous. My father was a pediatrician. He sometimes had to treat kids who were the victims of accidents in this area. My wife is a physical therapist, used to work for the school district, used to work then for the Child Development Center. Had some clients, kids that she was working with, that had been injured by firearms accidents. There is a real safety danger here. And frankly, our school district, I have no idea whether they're still doing it or not, but they were doing it when my kids went through school, exactly what this bill calls for. And it was not particularly expensive or disruptive or take away from academic time. I think it might have taken away from the PE classes just a little bit. But it was well worthwhile instruction. So I would urge us to adopt this bill.
Senator Case before Senator Christian rises. Senator Case.
Mr. President, after my very good friend, the last speaker, I would just be remiss if I didn't stand up and say local control.
Senator Christian, are you ready for final comment?
Mr. President, to address the body, you raised very good points, and it is not without impact, this work we do in the Senate, or that I'm just starting to do, and with all respect. But it does have an impact. But we have to weigh that against the greater good. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a requirement. 23-2-106 says kids that are going to go hunting have to have this. I'd like to share a brief story. Years ago, when I was much younger, two young boys in junior high went out hunting. Single parent home, their mother was working. They took the shotguns and they went out, and as they were climbing through the fence, the younger brother shot the older brother. This is the age we're talking about. It's those junior high kids. They didn't have that instruction. All their peers were out hunting. They wanted to participate in that sport. The good thing was, the older brother lived. This particular bill, it not only addresses child and public safety, it addresses a requirement that we've put out for these kids that want to participate in hunting. It is proactive to the issue that's going on around our nation, that when people are scared and fearful of firearms, this is an answer rather than sit back and let the lobbies and let the media and let these groups rally against firearms. This is taking a positive step. It is going to be work. It is going to create a little bit, or maybe even more than that, stress and strain. However, the good senator from Cheyenne, his amendment, clearly defined that this could be an extracurricular activity, absolutely sets the stage to not force it into the schools. It essentially becomes a scheduling issue between the schools and Game and Fish and those volunteer instructors. The amendment that put money back in up to $10 helps cover those costs. What it really does is set the stage for kids to have access and targeted access to a program that is required, but more importantly is a huge public safety issue. And I would really encourage you to support this bill. And thank you.
Thank you. Are we ready for the question? Senate File 71, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel.
No.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
No.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
No.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Meyer. Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Platern.
No.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 21 ayes, 9 noes.
Senate File 71, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 71 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business for consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion is carried. Senator Nutting, would you please approach to the desk? Chair is yours.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. Senator Landon.
Madam Chair, may I have the privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. They're actually on their way out, but I wanted to take a moment. Maybe we could stop our Paradise Valley students up above. Mrs. Landry, our teacher, is here. Tina Halverson, Ricky Nitzy, a couple of parents. My very good friend, Cade Hillebush, is up there, and some of the best primary students that we have in Wyoming from Paradise Valley School. So before they exit the premises, could I get a warm welcome from the Senate, please?
Thank you, Senator Landon, and thank you for the students for joining us today. Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chairman, may I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may.
Members of the Senate, I have with me today from FMC Corporation, our controller, Terry Harding. He was with us last year with our soon-to-be resident manager, Mr. Von Ahrens, and I checked with him, and Terry said last year when I introduced him that I was going to get fired, but I checked with the resident manager, and he said it was okay in doing it this year. That, but anyway, I want to introduce Terry Harding from FMC Corporation.
First bill for our consideration is, do you have
Senate File 10.
Senate File Number 10. Reading clerk, will you read the bill?
Senate File 10, Protection of Livestock Animals, an Act Relating to Animals, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 5, Agricultural State Public Lands and Water Resources, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Bebout, Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, and Hicks, Senator Geis, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
Madam Chairman.
Yes, Senator Geis.
Do you have the phone on?
I do.
Okay. When the Committee of the Whole rises and report, I move that Senate File 10 do pass, and I'd also like to move the Standing Committee amendments.
Senate File 10, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 1.
Thank you. What we're trying to do is keep ahead environmentalists and stuff that are trying to take away our rights on handling how we handle livestock in the state of Wyoming. So on page one, we start with act relating to animals, providing for the protection of livestock animals, add definitions and all those things. And as we go through the bill, you will see wherever there was animals, we added livestock to that. And so we'll go on down. We're starting a new section on line 10, and which will create a WS 1129115, and it's going to read on pay line 12-11-29-115, use of agriculture and livestock management practices. And then we go over on page 2. Uh, And that's where the First Amendment will go in. On line one, we put in after of the use of Wyoming industry, accepted agriculture or livestock management practices, or any other commonly practiced animal husbandry procedure used on livestock animals. And that comes under definition Wyoming Statute 1129-101A, Roman numeral 8. Then on line 6 is where the next amendment comes in. On line 6, we deleted the dehorning of cattle. And then we renumbered those accordingly. And then we go down on line 12. We put in under rodeo events, after event, we inserted applying animal care practices generally accepted within the rodeo industry. And that's to give our rodeo industry some protection, because there's no definition in the statutes and you can't define what a rodeo really is. So then we go down on line, page 2, line 12. That's the way we handled that one. The next one, on page 3, that tells how all the way through there's new language. And we get down on line 19, and that's after bovine, we put in domestic buffalo, because we have wildlife buffalo, and then we have domestic buffalo that privately owned by private ranchers. So we thought we needed that in there to clarify that part. Then we go on down on page 3, line 24. We changed the word protection to production and clarified that part of the statute. Page 4, this is just the act means Wyoming Statute 1129-101 through 11 Statute 29-115. So we change the different statute numbers there. Then we go down on page 8. We're talking every person who confines or causes any livestock animal in under the law of this state shall supply to the livestock animal during confinement a sufficient quantity of wholesome food and water. And that makes that pretty clear that if you're going to have one in a corral, you got to take care of them. Line 14, a livestock animal is the private property of the owner. That's clarified. So you know if you own the livestock, it's yours, and you have to take care of it. Line 17, we deleted B and went to C, and we deleted any person convicted of it. So now it'll read, violation of this section is a misdemeanor punished by imprisonment for not more than 6 months and a fine of not less than $100. Then 23, 24, 25, we just put in the 700 and we deleted 100, not more than 500. We moved it up to $750 or both, except that a subsequent offense is a higher misdemeanor punishable by not more than 1 year of imprisonment. And then on page 5, define of not more than $5,000. That's the highest they can be fined. The next one, the rest of them down there, just where we went in and included livestock with animals on down through page 5. Page 6, that's just about all the same there. Line 15, we neglected, cruelty, or mistreated. We used to say treated, and we went to mistreated. Then livestock, and then on line 18, livestock animals is released or destroyed. The expenses of caring and provided for a charge against the owner of the livestock animal and collection fee from the owner by the board of the local government employed the peace officer taking charge of the livestock. So we're hoping to collect a little money if we have to, the county has to go do it, or whoever does it, the veterinarian. We go to page 7, and we just added livestock in line 1. Line 2, this lien shall be filed as provided and pursuant to Wyoming Statute 297101 through 297106. Then we go on down to the bottom of page 7 on line 22, and we add any peace officer, agent, or officer of the board may on line 23, destroy or cause to destroy any livestock animal in his charge when it is his judgment. Go on page 8, and we delete line 1, 2, and line 3. Then we put in the judgment of a Wyoming licensed veterinarian or the judgment of the livestock animal owner. The livestock animal appears to be severely injured, severely disability, then that we give them the authority to have it destroyed. Line 7, we go, there shall be no right for any future indemnity or payment for the owner of the destruction of the livestock animal destroyed, and the peace officer, agent, or officer of the board shall be held harmless while acting in accordance with this section. Then we go on down on page 8, line 17, we just added livestock, and then on line 18, in treatment or cruelty, neglect, or determined by the Wyoming livestock veterinarian or veterinarian employed by the board. And on page 9, we just added livestock before animals, all the way on that page. And then other than that, that's old language. And then on page 10, that we just added livestock there. So if you have any questions, well, I'll try to answer them. Question?
Before we go to question, is there discussion on the menu, on the amendments? Senator Case.
I'm not really sure if my question is about the amendment or the bill itself.
So, we're on the amendment. Okay. We'd move the amendment first, Madam Chairman.
The amendments having been moved by Senator Geis. Is there now discussion on the amendments? All those in favor of Senator Geis's motion to adopt the Standing Committee amendments, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Hearing none, the amendments are adopted. We are back on the bill. The motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 10 has passed. We are back on the bill. Senator Geis. Senator Case, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have a question. It's sort of relates to your animals that are non-livestock animals, and I don't know how the practice works, but a lot of this bill involves adding the word livestock in front of the word animal, and livestock is defined, of course, as bovine, equine, swine, sheep, goat, camelid. It goes on, and then or poultry used for food or fiber, and then it goes on to use food or fiber again. So there obviously are domestic animals,
that don't fall into the area of livestock. I assume in the past, and I might be totally wrong, but I assume that peace officers, agents, or boards have interfered in the case of abuse, cruelty to other types of animals besides livestock. Now, does this remove that authority, or does this is that authority lodged somewhere else? I just try and understand what's meant by taking the word animal here and always putting livestock in front. Would seem to me that, indeed, does that mean that, literally, I know it's not true, but does a peace officer not have authority in the case of abuse of domestic animals that are not livestock? So something along those lines would be good.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Very good questions from my colleague from Fremont County. And the whole purpose of this bill is to change the way the Livestock Board is handling those issues. And over the past several years, the Agriculture Committee has been heard considerable testimony about the mistreatment of pets, if you will. And, of course, if the statute that now reads, it's really the responsibility of the Livestock Board for all animals in the state of Wyoming. What this bill does is clearly say the Livestock Board is responsible for livestock animals, and the definition is in there. There's a second bill coming that will talk about this and how we deal with the counties. And, of course, a lot of communities under home rule have their own way of dealing with pet animals and so on and so forth. One of the options we had was to set up a new position in government, a new agency to deal with strictly small pets. That was very expensive. The Agriculture Committee was not interested in doing that, not growing government to deal with that. We have the issue of the puppy labs going on and those kind of issues. So the committee thinks we should very clearly say that the Livestock Board is responsible for livestock animals. There's a companion bill that talks about the county being responsible for those other animals in the county and how to deal with that with the peace officers. The testimony we heard in the committee was that the County Commissioners Association is very supportive of this approach, as are the peace officers.
Senator Scott.
Madam Chairman, I rise to ask particularly the attorneys in the body to take a look at page 3, lines 12 through 15, with a view to making sure that we don't have any unintended consequences with that particular language. Specifically, it's common practice to leave animals, livestock, in a corral for short periods of time where they don't have food and water, but you need to leave them there while you go get the truck to haul them off or make some other arrangement of that sort. And also, could this possibly be construed, I don't think by the Livestock Board, but by a court somewhere, as saying, well, when you turn them out to a pasture where the livestock has to then go out and find its own food and water, which is in the pasture, that since we didn't provide any food, we've got to do that too.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Senator Emmerich.
For my friend, the good senator from Natrona County, we have tried to handle this in page 2, line 1, the use of Wyoming industry accepted agricultural management practices. I don't think any peace officer in the state is going to complain if you put your animals in a corral for 2 hours. They understand what you're doing, sir.
We have, we're on to the question on the bill. All of those in favor of Senator Geis's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation for Senate File 10. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 10 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next consideration, the next bill for our consideration is Senate File 17. The reading clerk will read Senate File 17.
Senate File 17, Probation and Parole Amendments, an act relating to probation and parole, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Perkins. Senator Perkins, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. When the Committee of the Whole rise and report that I asked that it do so, I move that when it do so, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 17, Probation and Parole Amendments. I'll go ahead and try and explain this bill. This was an interim study by your Joint Judiciary Committee. And what this does is a couple things. The first thing it does is it kind of blends some of the issues regarding both probation and parole, which are actually kind of headed up to some degree by different offices. It's a Board of Parole and also the Department of Corrections. We have probation and parole agents that have kind of concurrent jurisdictions between those two entities. And so what we're doing is trying to do a couple things in this bill. One of them is that we are trying to, there was a reorganization a number of years ago within the Department of Corrections and the Board of Parole. And so one thing this does is kind of update that so it catches up with the reorganization that happened in those administrative agencies some time ago. And so that's what we start out. We start out, if you go on, for a number of those pages, that's exactly what we're doing. For example, if you go and look on there's a number of conforming sites to try and make this internally inconsistent with other provisions in the statute. If you go to page 3 and look at those definitions, those are definitions. The Field Service Administrator is actually the guy who runs this group now, and so we're being consistent in there so it matches up with the reorganization that happened in that department. Probably one of the most controversial, and there's probably three areas that are potentially worthy of debate on this bill. One of them is on page 3, line 5, the language that excludes release on bail. What you're doing is saying that when somebody comes in prior to being charged and convicted, that we're excluding bail. And so you have somebody out on bail pending disposition of their criminal action. What we're saying here is that the conditional release is not an area where a parole or probation officer will cover or monitor the individual while they're out on bail. And so that is what that is doing there. That's a function of caseload. We have turned down requests for additional full-time positions for additional probation parole officers. There are, according to the testimony we had during the interim, there are probably in the neighborhood of 5,000 active parole and probation cases, and there are about, I think, 50 or 60 probation and parole officers. They each have about 100 or better cases. So they are working hard, and this is just a function of capability. So that's, I would point that out to you. If you go to the next section, you see some changes. When you get particularly to page 4, there's a new subsection J in that. What you have is the current practice is, or the current requirement under the law is, that when somebody violates their probation or parole and they're brought back, they're entitled to basically a court hearing or a preliminary hearing to see if a probable cause and other things have happened, if they've revoked their parole. Then you come back for another revocation hearing specifically on whether their parole or probation could be revoked. What this does is this streamlines that and simply brings them back. It allows them to be arrested under if the agent, parole or probation agent, has probable cause to believe that person has revoked or violated their parole or condition thereof. They're able to issue an arrest warrant. That individual will then be arrested. This allows that arrest warrant to be executed by a peace officer, which probation and parole officers are not peace officers. And then when they come in, they have their due process rights are guaranteed when they come for the revocation hearing. So it streamlines that to, so we can have one court hearing that ultimately we believe their due process rights are protected adequately in the revocation hearing. The other ones on page 5 and the remainder of the provisions on page 5 are conforming amendments, as are the ones at the top of 6. The next probably one that potentially folks may want to think about is, are the law on lines 14 through 19 on page 6. This, again, when you come back, when you come back and some of your again, you're dealing with a parole or probation revocation because of an offense or second crime or that's been committed or another violation of the parole, you bring them back. What we have now is in this new language, in the case of a parolee for whom violation is based on a new felony conviction, a preliminary hearing is not required under this section. What we're talking about is not the preliminary hearing on the new section, but a preliminary hearing that this guy has now violated a condition of his parole by committing a new felony. And so we're bringing him back where we still have the due process. The hearing is required to determine whether the probation, as you read it there, the hearing is only required when the probationer has been reincarcerated and a legal warrant has not been obtained within 10 days. So what we're talking about is streamlining, preserving due process, but streamlining the process. I think the rest of the amendments, for the most part, are conforming amendments. The one other item that I would point out, another item I would point out, is the bottom of page 9, lines 20. What we do here is when the Department of Corrections or the Board of Parole has someone who's been reincarcerated for a violation or held in a county jail, there is a reimbursement that goes out to the county jail. There's so much per day. This section deals with that. And what they're talking about, amount established by the department based on funds appropriated to the department for housing of offenders. There's a process and an audit that goes through so people know how much it costs to keep folks in their county jails. What this is limiting to is making sure the department is not required to pay counties for incarcerating prisoners beyond the amount that's appropriated. And so by adopting this, that just puts a requirement on the legislature to make sure in the appropriations that we monitor that so counties can be appropriately repaid for the expenditures of housing probation violators or other people who come under the jurisdiction of the Department of Corrections or Board of Parole while they're incarcerated in county jails. Then you go to page 10. Others are conforming amendments until you get to page 10. The bottom of page 10, 18 through 24, clarification of good time allowances. This is a common practice. There's no change in the current practice, is my understanding, with respect to this, but it clarifies what has been some ambiguity, and so that to make sure that the current practices are in conformity with the law. Then the final provisions that are not simply conforming amendments are, I believe, over here on page bottom of page 11 over to the top of page 12. What you're talking about is when a person gets out on parole, they're going to have a list of issues that are out there. One of them is there's restitution. And what happens, if you're a victim of a crime and it's already been adjudicated that somebody stole or that there's restitution for medical expenses that you charged against the parolee, that they have that they're charged for restitution. If that restitution isn't paid by the time they're off parole, the only remedy currently is that they have to go then, once they're on parole or the parole's over with, they have to then go and sue in civil court to get a judgment against the perpetrator of the crime to collect this money. What we do here is change that so that the judgment and conviction of sentence on that person can simply be filed by the victim in a court, and that will act as a judgment so that they don't have to go out and get a separate trial to determine what has already been determined in the criminal court, and they can proceed to continue and enforce that restitution even after the parole is over against the offender. With that, I think the rest of these are mostly conforming, are simply conforming of amendments. And with that, there are no are conforming amendments to the existing bill. There are no amendments. And with that, I'll just stand for questions.
Any discussion on the amendments? Senator Schiffer.
Madam Chairman, a question on, and this goes to the restitution when they're on parole. The victim gets called in at the parole hearing and has an opportunity to attend and I think to participate either in person or by letter. Is that when the victim would be notified in terms of restitution at that point? Or how does the victim find out? How does the victim find out that they can file an order before parole ends to get their restitution? How are they notified of that? Because the hearing would have already gone, and the prisoner would be out. I'm not sure how the victim gets notified that they can file an order to continue getting their restitution, even when probation is over.
That's a good question. My understanding is, if I remember the testimony right, is that individuals before they're released, the victims are notified. Whether or not that's in the notification, I don't know. I can check that out and get back to you if this moves forward. That's a very good question.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? All those in favor of Senator Perkins' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 17. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 17 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is... Excuse me. Majority Floor Leader, Senator Ross.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. To accommodate my good friend in the back, I move that the Senate beg to rise, leave, and never sit again. That's not Madam Chairman, I move that the Senate I move that the Senate beg leave to rise and sit again.
You have heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, Senate File 59, Spice Drugs, that was read in this morning from Committee 10, does have an appropriation, and pursuant to Senate rules, I ask it be re-referred to Committee Number 2.
Senate File 59 has been requested to be referred to Committee Number 2. Hearing no objection, that will be so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Are there any announcements? Senator Hines?
Mr. President, Committee Number 3 Revenue will meet 15 minutes after we recess in Room S-16 to take up Senate File 86, Agriculture Fuel Tax Exemptions, Senate File 99, Sales Tax on Certain Food Items, and Senate File 108, Remote Electronic Terminal Fees 2.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, your Committee Number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, and Water Resources, will meet upon adjournment tonight and will handle Senate File 65, Animal Remedies, Senate File 81, Ominous Water Bill Construction, Senate File 78, Temporary and Stream Flows, and Senate File 111, Game Animal Damages.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, your Senate and House Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs Committee, in order to make this a more enlightening day, is going to host a demonstration of the WildLink statewide public safety communication system today upon recess up in room 302. Mr. President, I'll remind the Senate we have in excess of $50 million in the... It just went up again by 10?
I think it's closer to 100.
It's closer to $100 million in this system. It's really a good system, and today's the day we get to see if it works or not. It is an opportunity to see what our investment has brought us. I think it'll be enlightening, and if nothing else, it's worth passing up a meal just to see if this thing works. So I encourage the members to go up to room 302 is where it would be.
Senator Scott. Mr. President, I would urge the Senate to remember it's dangerous to get too close to a black hole. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number one judiciary will meet Friday, January 21st at 8 a.m. in room S1 to undertake or consider the following bills. Senate File 67, Guardianship and Ward Sealed Records. Senate File 68, Summary Probate Amendments. And we'll also take up and finish the testimony on the Senate Joint Resolution 5, Defense of Marriage Constitutional Amendment. We have more testimony to take and then the opportunity to work that bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm reminded when we had a local tragedy up in the mountains near Laramie, and the local first responders were communicating with each other on their WildLink, having difficulty, so the local rancher came out and let him use his cell phone. And I hope that that investment turns back in spades, so I hope it works beautifully. Mr. President, the Joint Appropriations Committee has continued to meet. We are still taking testimony from Department of A&I. We're now into the capital construction. The good news is the CapCon is the last thing to be heard. We will start marking up the budget, but we will be marking the budget through tomorrow. We will be done tomorrow because we've got to get our staff working this weekend to turn a budget bill. That means that it's time for me to turn our attention for the Senate Appropriation Committee to your bills with appropriations. And next week we'll start rocking and rolling on that. We'll probably meet two or three times a day to get these bills out.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 12, Rules, will meet tomorrow afternoon upon adjournment at S5 to continue our work on Senate File 95, Legislative Committee Membership.
Senator Bebout.
Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, will meet tomorrow, Friday, the 21st of January, to discuss the following bills. Senate Joint Resolution 6, Environmental Protection Agency Regulations, Senate File 116, Oil and Gas Enhanced Recovery, Microbial Conversion, and Senate File 119, Real Estate Brokers and Salesmen Revisions.
Other announcements. Senate shall stand recess until 2 p.m.